In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Today we're going to look at the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time and prepare. The theme, as you're going to notice, is the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. And so we're going to begin. Our first section is, as it has been recently, on the Word of the Lord, Verbum Domini. This is paragraph number 14, which is very powerful. I'm not sure if we'll get finished the whole thing, but we'll try. I'm just going to quote and then read as I've been doing and comment. In all of this, the Church gives voice to her awareness that with Jesus Christ, she stands before the definitive Word of God. He is the first and the last. Everything that God says is in His Word, and His Word is incarnate in Jesus Christ. He has given creation and history their definitive meaning, and hence we are called to live in time and in God's creation within this eschatological rhythm of the Word. And then there's this quote from Dei Verbum. Thus, the Christian dispensation, since it is the new and definitive covenant, will never pass away. And no new public revelation is to be expected before the glorious manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the next time we're going to get a public revelation, it'll be when the Lord comes back. That's pretty nice. And we'll have our own when we die and see the Lord. But the public revelation will be when He comes back and all the universe takes its position in subjection to Him. Okay? Now, as the Fathers noted during the Synod, and now he's going to talk a bit about private revelations. The uniqueness of Christianity is manifested in the event which is Jesus Christ, the culmination of revelation, the fulfillment of God's promises, and the mediator of the encounter between God and man. He who has made God known is the one definitive Word given to mankind. St. John of the Cross expresses this truth magnificently. This is a quote now from John of the Cross. Since He has given us His Son, His only Word, for He possesses no other, He spoke everything at once in this sole Word, and He has no more to say, because what He spoke before to the prophets in parts, He has spoken all at once by giving us this all who is His Son. Any person questioning God or desiring some vision or revelation would be guilty not only of foolish behavior, but also of offending Him by not fixing his eyes entirely on Christ and by living with the desire for some other novelty. That's John of the Cross. Now, the Pope is going to develop that notion. The notion, is there such a thing as private revelation? And if there is it valuable? Well, the answer, of course, is yes. How many of the private revelations have become part of the Church's liturgy? The Feast of the Sacred Heart. Mercy Sunday. These were revealed to two different women religious, and the Lord said to them what He wanted, and now it's the liturgy of the Church. But the principle is still, if the Lord says something to me, it doesn't take precedence over what He's already spoken once and for all in the Scriptures as understood by the tradition of the Church. Consequently, in light of what we've just said, the Synod pointed to the need. Now, that was Dei Verbum from the Council, Now, this is the Synod, pointed to the need to help the faithful to distinguish the Word of God from private revelations, whose role is not to complete Christ's definitive revelation, but to help live more fully by it in a certain period of history. That's very nicely said. But it doesn't preclude the fact that God speaks to many people to help them lay hold of this one word of revelation. It's a help. And it's very common these days that the Lord speak to people. We have these apparitions of Our Lady, of Fatima, Medjugorje, Lourdes. These are private revelations. You would never be obliged to believe in faith in any one of these with that divine faith by which we believe the Word of God as interpreted by the Church. But they're very beautiful and powerful. The value of private revelations is essentially different from that of the one public revelation. This latter demands faith. In it, God Himself speaks to us through human words and the mediation of a living community of the Church. The criterion for judging the truth of a private revelation is its orientation to Christ Himself. If it leads us away from Him, then it certainly does not come from the Holy Spirit, who guides us more deeply into the gospel and not away from it. The reason why so much attention has to be paid to this in this document, Verbum Domini, is because it's happening so much. And when it happens a lot, then some people kind of get on the bandwagon. And it's a grave pastoral duty to help such people distinguish between their imagination and the Lord. But that the Lord is speaking to people, that's beyond doubt. It's not going to replace revelation, it's going to serve it. And if it doesn't serve it, well, it's not from the Lord. Somebody once came to me and said, I'm trying to discern whether I should divorce my wife. I said, that discernment's already been done. It's a sacrament. You don't have to waste your time trying to discern that. You stick with her in fidelity, learn to love her and serve her, and help her to love and serve you. I mean, you don't need any more revelation on that one. That's clear. Okay. Private revelation is an aid to this faith, and it demonstrates its credibility precisely because it refers back to the one public revelation. The private revelation shows its credibility. Ecclesiastical approval of a private revelation essentially means that its message contains nothing contrary to faith and morals. It is licit to make it public, and the faithful are authorized to give it their prudent adhesion if they want. You're still not under any obligation to believe Lourdes or Medjugorje or Fatima, though we've had popes go and visit there. You see, divine faith is something so exalted. These things serve divine faith, but they're not of divine faith, as is expressed in the Scripture, as carried and interpreted by the Church. That's the point of this very important number, to help us grasp this point. Okay? A private revelation can introduce new emphases, give rise to new forms of piety, or deepen older ones. I've just given you some examples. The first person, if I remember now my history, to whom our Lord spoke about His sacred heart was St. Gertrude of Helfta, great holy saint. The next time was several centuries later to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, and He spoke and He said, behold this heart which has loved men so much. The problem in the European church, Western church, was Jansenism. You know, even the crucifixes stopped being with our Lord's arms stretched out wide. His hands were up narrow because not everybody could be embraced by this saving act. That's a heresy. Our Lord came and talked to Margaret Mary Alacoque and said, I want the world to know fire of love in my heart. So tell the Pope, I want this feast day of the Sacred Heart. You notice they're all about mercy. The dumbest, the worst thing we do is doubt God's mercy. So there's one example. Then comes along Therese, and her whole revelation, not in that kind of a vision, was the mercy of God. Again, she gave herself as a victim to the merciful love of God. And so you'd think by now we'd be getting it, huh? And less than 100 years later, St. Faustina, the same message. And there the Lord said the same thing. I want a feast day. I want the Mercy Sunday to be the first Sunday after Easter. And so it is. Now, they are meant to build and help our faith so that at least if we get everything else mixed up, we don't doubt the mercy of God. There's a famous passage, famous chapter in the Rule of Saint Benedict, where he's giving the instruments of good works. Pray often, goes all through this list of 72. And the last one is, and never despair of the mercy of God. If you haven't done the first 71, at least don't make that mistake. Trust the mercy of God. Because if you start to trust the mercy of God, you'll fall in love with Him. And then you can be a saint. Because you'll so love Him. You see? So these private revelations, we're not under any obligation in divine faith to believe them. Because divine faith is applied to the apostolic heritage. However, you can see how helpful they are. And if you look at the number of times the Mother of God has come to this earth in this century and a half of crisis, telling us, pray, say the rosary, ask for mercy. It would be foolish not to pay attention to that and to pray and not to pray. In any event, it must be a matter of nourishing faith, hope, and love, which are for everyone the permanent path of salvation. That's the last line of the Pope in this paragraph. In other words, when all is said and done, these gifts that the Lord gives in these private revelations, if they help you love God more, great. That's what they're for, so that you'll love Him, know Him. And so, in this very important paragraph, number 14, it's on the difference between the Word of God, which in its eschatological fullness, and the messages of God through Himself and through His saints, which by which He talks to us. These are an enormous help. The only thing the Pope wants to make sure is we don't put them on the same level as the definitive revelation to the whole Church. That's his point. Now, the next time we do this, next week, we're going to be looking at the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And once again, I say, if these introductory talks are helpful, let me know, because we have a long way to go to get finished this book, and I want to do it if it's helpful. And I'm doing it because most people don't have the time to read it, but I thought if we studied it together, we would bear the fruit. You see, after a synod, the Pope always writes an apostolic letter, exhortation. So this is summing up the work of that synod of bishops and making it available for directives to the whole Church.